keeping track of the news, so you don't have to. This is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It's going to be a short show this morning because I did get up a little bit later. I've been waking up in the middle of the night and just been wide awake, and then I finally fall asleep about the time it's time to get up. And so I end up sleeping a little bit. So I haven't been as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning. So I usually am. That's going to have to change tomorrow. I'm going to have to do some things tonight to try to probably go work out, maybe do a little workout. I haven't done a workout here for a couple days. That typically kind of gets me a little bit more tired at night. Sleep a little bit better. Anyway, that's the thing. I know the real thing you're concerned about is what's in my cup. I still have sweet tea in my cup, homemade. I'm drinking it from a straw. Still have some there. I've got, I think I'm almost out. I have very little tea left, so I'm going to have to go get, I'll go to Chick-fil-A and buy a couple of large sweet teas and just replenish my stock, to say. Welcome to the Rock. Those of you remember that movie. A couple things on my mind this morning. Just a couple. Can't hold much more than that. If I have more than a couple things, it gets a little weighed down and warped. The Kyle Rittenhouse thing is still really bugging me. I've listened to a few people, even on Fox News, even on especially on MSNBC and CBS. Or MSNBC and CNN. I flipped through MSNBC. I listen to them so you don't have to. Let me just tell you what's going on over there. They have really taken the polarized opposite stance on this whole thing with Kyle Rittenhouse. And what I continue to hear is, he shouldn't have been out there with that gun. Even people on Fox News, on Geraldo, was saying, he's a fool. He shouldn't have been out there with that gun. He's got a hero complex. That's really Rich coming from Geraldo. If you know anything about him in his life, for Geraldo to be calling someone with a hero complex, talk about. I think it was just that Geraldo was shown up by this young man. Shown to have more courage than Geraldo has ever had at the age of 17. But I'll digress from Geraldo. But here's the epitome. This is how this is the irony. As I was watching some of these newscasts, and they were showing clips of Kyle. When Kyle started running, by the way, he was trying to run towards the when he first had very first incident. He said, "I'm going to get the police." His first instinct was to get the police. Do you think if they would have shot Kyle, the person who shot Kyle would have, or if they would have killed him with a skateboard? Do you think they would have gone and gotten the police? That's their first instinct, is to go and get the police. That's not what someone who is acting in defense and cares about people and wants to deal with the situation. He wanted to go get the police. He didn't know if the first guy he shot was dead or not. All he knew was, we need to get the authorities involved. And here's the problem with this whole thing. This is what I think is, now, I'm not saying the police officers are not courageous enough. They were told to stand down. They were obeying orders. And they were not going into that area. Kyle was, because nobody else would. I heard Joy Behar keep saying, he went across state lines. He went to another state with a gun. This is 20 minutes from his house. She has no clue what she's talking about. This kind of rhetoric and continued narrative does nothing but vilify him, and it's going to do nothing but cause more riots. because they're pretending like, oh, you go from one state to another. Well, if you live on a state line, that happens a lot. I live 2 miles from a state line. I live in Indiana, and I go to Michigan all the time. My wife works in Michigan. I keep my boat in Michigan. Well, I did. It's there right now because it's on the ground. It's the only place I can pull it out. So this is not some kind of like, oh, well, going across a state line is a big deal. And he didn't cross the state line with a gun. That's a false thing. That was determined early on in the course of this trial by the prosecution. They're the ones that admitted it. And yet, that narrative continues to go on. He illegally had a gun. At 17 years old, you can carry a long gun. And he was open carrying. Now, here's what I keep hearing. This is the irony of this whole thing. The two things that really, I guess, are just really aggravating me about this whole situation is the logic that they're putting behind this thing. He shouldn't have been out there with a gun. I keep hearing that. He shouldn't have been out there with a gun. So if he would have been out there without his gun, with his first aid pack and his fire extinguisher, if he would have put that fire out in that dumpster, by the way, a burning dumpster could be considered a lethal weapon, by the way, especially when you're pushing it towards a gas station. He put the fire out, made the guy mad. That's when he became attacked. Now, when you attack someone who's holding a gun, you don't have much sense. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You're already proving that you're out of your mind. Especially someone who's doing something that's right. Putting that fire out was the right thing to do. Because nobody else was going to do it. That gas, just because they're destroying property doesn't mean it's okay. Well, they have insurance. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe they can't afford insurance. Some of those businesses were devastated. They'll never come back. The cost to rebuild is just too high, and their insurance basically wouldn't cover it. And the area itself is now run down and destroyed. They destroyed their own neighborhoods. Kyle was trying to save it. And he was out there to protect people's lives, not to kill them. He just had the gun to protect himself as a show of force. Typically, if you have a show of force, typically people won't mess with you unless you're an attacker. He wasn't an attacker. He was defending. So everybody says, well, he shouldn't have been out there with a gun. Interestingly enough, the first person who took the stand in this trial was the sole survivor. He was the sole survivor of the Kyle Rittenhouse attack. There's a lot of other people who survived that night. There were other people who were injured that night very badly by other people. Nobody's talking about them. The sole survivor had a gun as well. Carrying it illegally without a permit. I'm saying according to Wisconsin law. I believe in the right to carry concealed, and the state can't take that away from you. Good for him that he was carrying a weapon. Here's the problem. They're claiming Kyle was the one with the gun. He shouldn't have been out there. Well, the other fellow had a gun. The fellow who lost his arm or had his bicep blown off, supposedly. That's the way they're saying it. He had a gun. Should he have been out there with a gun? Why did he have a gun? He's a 26 or 27-year-old guy who pointed his gun at Kyle's head. At that point, and he was the one chasing Kyle, by the way, one of the ones chasing Kyle, after they had hit him a couple times with a skateboard, got kicked in the head, knocked down, they were going to maul him. He was in fear of his life. If you don't believe that, look at the testimony on the stand that they are now mocking and ridiculing as well, saying it was all an act. Oh, he was just a good actor. It was all crocodile tears. Folks, that was a panic attack. That is PTSD on display for all to see. as he was reliving the moment. And yet he didn't just stop and cry. He was choking back the panic in that moment because he really felt like he needed to explain to the public what happened to him. He was running to get the police, and they were trying to stop him. If he had done something wrong, you would, of course, they, you know, they're anti-police, so the police are just going to come in. And he ended up finally getting to the police by the end of the evening. He ended up walking out, got to where the police line was, the line that the police wouldn't cross or weren't allowed to cross, I guess, because of the orders that they had received not to go in. It was just chaos. This is the fog of war. It was chaos. It was, you know, he had no intention of hurting anybody. This fight was not picked by him. And yet the left is all over him like he's some kind of white supremacist who was out there killing white people. The fellow who did have a gun, apparently he was okay to be out there with a gun. It was okay for him to be out there with a gun. That's the first irony that I find in this whole thing. The second irony is while they're talking about this, is it Joy Reid? I think she's on MSNBC. I think it's another Joy somebody. I think Joy Reid. They have this guy on there. He's going on and on and on and on. He's talking about the members of Congress and the January 6th incident and how these members of Congress basically are terrorists and they're encouraging, you know, what's it going to take? It's going to take somebody being shot by one of our senators are going to be, somebody in Congress is going to be shot. Because they're all the rhetoric they're talking about. I might want to remind you, not so long ago, a radical Bernie supporter went out and started shooting Republicans on a baseball field. Yeah, that happened. Rand Paul was attacked by a mob. Rand Paul was beat up by his neighbor. Some other congressmen have been attacked. And yet that didn't count. It didn't count because they were Republicans. They deserve it. The rhetoric that has come from the likes of, I don't even want to talk about her. I don't even want to mention her name. Go out there. You start a crowd, you know, tell them they're not welcome here anymore, anywhere. Talking about Republicans. She's basically inciting people to start a mob against people like that, against Republicans. Absolutely ridiculous, outrageous, egregious. All those words. Everything but courageous. So while they're talking about this stuff, and while Joy's doing this, she moves on to this next. The next segment was all about Kyle Rittenhouse, and they're showing people with baseball bats beating in storefronts that were partially boarded up because of the rioting going on. But no, that didn't stop them. They were out there beating themselves into the, running cars into garages, running. Lighting things on fire, doing all those things. Those people were okay. They were just protesting, so they were okay. They were supposed to be there. Kyle wasn't supposed to be there. These other people were supposed to be there. Let's talk about all the people who weren't supposed to be there with baseball bats beating in storefronts. So while you're showing pictures of people beating in storefronts, you're talking about Kyle not supposed to. He shouldn't have been there. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, you shouldn't have been there. Because, you know, these people have the right to be there. They have the right to beat up these, you know, beat these stores in, beat people up, rob and steal and loot. That's their right. You don't have a right to be there. Unless you're participating in the protest. Because you're not, you know, you're not from there. You live 20 minutes away. We don't know how many people came from out of state to participate in the riots either. And it was a riot. It wasn't a protest, folks. once in a while they'll show people with signs. That was, you know, because people with signs usually cause about, you know, $1 billion worth of damage. Now, during that year, all the riots that were going on with all the racial, you know, rhetoric, it approached close to $2 billion. Because people with signs protesting, that's what happens. Really, the signs are really dangerous. That's the irony that I find in this whole thing. And that's why I'm really concerned for Kyle and the rest of his life, and for the outcome of this, the verdict of this trial. We don't know how it's been stacked. We don't know if people got on the, this has been the modus operandi of the left and certain organizations. They want to get on juries. They know how to fool, you know, to answer the questions properly. And they can stack the jury and get on there and do their thing. These are not your peers. This is not a jury of your peers. This is a stacked jury. And it's been very well documented now that there has been jury mandering with respect to intimidation, jury intimidation. That's well documented now. It is happening. They're taking pictures of them. They're getting ready to say. I think the leader now of BLM, or the spokesperson for BLM now, has come out and said if they don't give the right verdict on this case, that there's going to be riots in the street, but there's going to be burning and looting and riots and bloodshed in the streets. Bloodshed in the streets. Where's Mr. Merrick Garland? Well, wouldn't threats against the jury and the judge, wouldn't that kind of warrant an investigation possibly? These people would be considered domestic terrorists because they're terrorizing the jury, they're terrorizing the community by making threats like that. We want our outcome to, you know, be the way we want it, or we're going to... He's on video making these threats. But no, they're a good organization. You need to put their flags out everywhere. You can put their flags out. You can't put Blue Lives Matter out. It's a fellow who just got arrested or got let go because he had a Blue Lives Matter flag outside of his office, and the organization that he works for said that wasn't acceptable. I guarantee you, if the flag would have said Black Lives Matter, he would have probably been okay. They wouldn't have touched that. That's where we are right now, folks. It is ironic. And to say that this young man who was there to help people. This is the guy who... Let's talk about this for just a second. I know nobody wants to talk about this. It's not relative to the case. But let's just talk about the type of people we're talking about here. Kyle, lifeguard. Earlier that day, he was seen cleaning graffiti off of buildings. Cleaning graffiti off of buildings, not putting it on. He was volunteering for a couple different organizations within the community, helping out, doing some things, repairing and restoring some things. He was a cadet for some kind of police department. It's like an entry program for somebody who wants to be in the police. That's what he was. That's the kind of person he was. Then we have these two individuals who have been killed. One of them. They keep saying he came from the hospital. I don't know if it was a hospital or not. Of course, he had this bag with him with all of his belongings. You know what they give you when you get out of the hospital. I don't know what kind of hospital it was. I do know that he was in jail, and he was released from jail, and his crime was raping a minor. Wasn't his first offense. I don't know if he had to go to the hospital after he got out of prison or not, if he stopped off at the hospital, or what kind of operation he had. What was he in the hospital for? Let's ask that question. They brought it up. They've opened the door to that question. Maybe he shouldn't have been out there. He just got out of the hospital. I bet his doctor did. I bet his doctor told him, you know, try not to lift anything over 15 pounds. Don't attend any riots. That's probably part of his prescription. The other fellow apparently was also a criminal in his 40s, I believe. Had a long rap sheet list. And I'll find out those things if it really matters. All I'm going to say is we're talking about the contrast of these two different individuals and how they're trying to vilify Kyle. Yeah, he's the criminal here. Right. Yeah. He had no intention on hurting anybody. Last thing he wanted to do was pull that trigger. Now he has to live with that the rest of his life with the community. This part of the community has vilified him. He'll never be able to walk down the streets of that community again, 20 minutes from his house, where he worked. Yeah. So that's my rant this morning. That's all I got time for. But I think that's about enough, because I need to get to work. Appreciate you guys listening to my Friday morning rant. I'll have another show this evening. Friday for me to have a show, but I'll have a show tonight, and it might be something over the weekend, because I'm also going to be in Appleton all weekend, so just do that all the time. God bless everybody. Keep praying for our nation. Pray for each other. We can get through this. We're still in. Have a great day, everybody.